Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And Jeremy, we are doing your pick for our episode 68 of the Deuce. We are doing Bill Clinton's second favorite movie.
Yes.
I would say.
Yeah.
And go ahead, tell everyone what we're doing.
It's Police Academy 2, their first assignment, which I'm sure you've now seen.
Is it their first assignment or first, like, not that the semantics
matter,
but
their first assignment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it matters.
Oh, it matters.
So this is the second.
Of course, Goot shows back up for the second and shows up till about 4, right? Police Academy 4.
Then I think so, yeah. Out.
There is 7 of these movies.
Yep. Out of 7. The Police Academy's septology.
If that's a thing, sure.
Okay. I just don't know.
I'm going to assume that this is the movie, the second of the a movie of a series that has probably the most sequels that we've done, probably outside. Don't you think?
Yeah. What else? What else do we have?
I don't know. Still waiting for that Weekend at Bernie's 3.
No, this one has a ton. So this one has, well, it's Police Academy, Police Academy 2, their first assignment.
Yeah.
Police Academy 3, back in training. Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol. Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach. That one deals with jewel thieves.
Ooh,
Police Academy 6, City Under Siege. Actually, that one also deals with jewel thieves. A lot of jewel thieves.
A lot of.
And then Police Academy, A Mission to Moscow.
And that deals with Putin.
Yes.
Okay.
It's they're chasing an international crime figure.
Yeah. I mean, I watched all the trailers to
you
these.
You did.
Yeah.
I
was like, the Cold War is over.
No.
Or is it? And I just was like, okay.
You're like, yes.
Yeah.
Or is it?
I like the same guy did all the trailers except for the last one. It was like some other guy. And I was kind of mad that it was some other guy.
Yeah.
Because I watched them all in a row. And I was like, no. Like, that's why I was mad about. Not the fact that they did 7 of these things.
But I remember when that came out, it was just like, what?
When that came out?
When that, I remember seeing ads for Mission to Moscow, and I was like, how many of these are there?
Yeah. Are they direct to video?
I thought that one was.
Oh, maybe.
Some of them aren't.
No, some of them, I know they weren't.
So they were actually there was originally talks to make an 8th movie like 13 years after the fact, like in 2007 or 6, whatever it was. And they were trying to get Kim Cattrall, and they were trying to get people from like earlier installments of
this. Were
they
trying to get the Goot too?
Yeah, he was supposedly going to do it.
Okay.
And it just kind of fell apart. A couple of people, like the guy who plays Hightower, is that who it was? Hightower? He had died by the time that came out.
Yeah, Bubba Smith, right?
Oh, no, Tackleberry. I'm sorry.
Tackleberry died.
Yeah, at the time that happened, Tackleberry and there was another character who did not come out by this time. She had also died.
Okay.
So they're like, well, do we want to keep going? Because that's part of the humor is Tackleberry. And they said, yeah, let's keep going. They tried putting it together, and it did not go. In the meantime, though, I think other people like Commandant Lassard has died now. And
Correct.
And a
he
few
died,
other people.
Like, just a couple years ago.
Yeah. And
I think Punky was at his funeral, right?
Yes, she was. Yeah, that was
Punky.
They were looking at remaking the movie, and one of the things that had come up was that Bobcat Goldthwait came back and said, "Look, why don't you reboot it with new people? We
right.
do not need to have like the old." Actors at it again. Just reboot it. Start it over if you're going to do something with
that. He can direct
it. Yeah.
If he wants, you know?
Yeah. And, of course, some of the other people were like, no, we want to still do it. So, like, Michael Winslow, and he confirmed that it's still happening. It's just taking forever. But he's confirming that it's still going on. And then Gutenberg is still supposed to be part of it. And they were trying to get, like, Kim Cattrall and some other people to be part of it as well. So.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, who knows? We can have an eighth
one eventually. I think Bobcat's kind of right. Just kind of reboot it. But we'll talk about that more.
You know what? Like, if you... Yeah, we'll talk about
that later. Go ahead.
Yeah. For those of you who follow along by now, you obviously know that we're part of the No Phony Podcast Network. Definitely, if you are interested in podcasts, if you like a wide variety of kind of programs, I think the No Phony Podcast Network is a great place for you to really kind of turn your focus. And the reason I say that is because this is one of the most diverse groups of podcasts that I've seen. We have things from all over the place. A lot of times you get podcast networks where they have a specific genre or a specific focus.
Like comic book or horror.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that. But ours is just kind of all out there, which is great. Because you could just go, what is that podcast? I'll click on that and try that. And so on and so on. So we got sports. We got comedy. We got politics.
Yeah. We have all sorts of stuff. This week.
Instructional.
Yeah.
Kind of.
We do. Yeah. This month, our featured podcast is still From the Bottom. So definitely go out there and check them out. They've been with the network for a long time. Their shows are great. So go out there, give them a listen. But definitely check out the No Phony Podcast Network. You can find them at nophonynetwork.com. And so definitely go
follow them out on Twitter.
Yep, Twitter. And then you can follow them. If you anywhere. Go to the hashtag No Phony Podcast Network.
Yes, you can see the latest episodes of all your favorite podcasts.
Yes, so everybody who is part of the network uses that when they post. Follow along for the latest. There's all sorts of great stuff on there, and I can't emphasize that enough. Like, even
do
if
it.
I was not part of... Do it! Even if I wasn't part of the network in and of itself, you know, this is somewhere I would go because I think there's a wide variety.
I agree. Even if we weren't part of the network, I would probably be like... Wow, what's this? Wow, these are all different types.
Mm-hmm.
So go check that out. But you know what? After these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
My name is Joseph Crane, and I am humanity's last historian. I broadcast from my own personal quarters in my rolling home. If you're hearing this, then I succeeded. I was able to get this uploaded to Orbiter 1, the last remaining satellite that was launched by our ancestors before the collapse. And what I aim to do here, well, I aim to be remembered. This life can be difficult, always being on the road, living on the run. And I don't want to be forgotten. So I'm going to chronicle our history. I'm going to record what it's like in the collective. All of humanity is spread out along the path, circling Oasis, staying in the light at all times, fleeing from the dark. Because anything that's in the dark dies. Joseph Crane, signing out.
And we're back.
We're back.
We're back, people.
We're back.
We're back. So go ahead and click on that podcast. You can't click right now while you're listening.
Or, don't stop
don't
and
listen
click
to
on
their
it.
Podcast.
Just
right
remember
now.
To do it when you're done.
When you're done with this lovely episode, episode 68, Jeremy's Choice, by the way.
My choice. This is Retali. This is my follow up to Weekend at Bernie's 2.
You liked Weekend at Bernie's 2.
I did.
In
I
a
did.
Way.
But you know what? I'll save it, but. So I haven't seen these movies for a long time.
Yeah, and I have not really... This is the one I've kind of seen clips of.
Yeah.
This is the one, like, I haven't seen any of these movies.
Yeah, I've seen the first one
fully
the most.
Through, but I've seen, like, clips of this.
I've seen the first one the most. And I think I only saw through the third one.
Probably.
But, you know, I enjoyed this movie.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the first one was such a big hit back in the day, correct?
It was, yeah.
I mean, it was huge. It had to be.
Yeah.
To have much of an impact to, like, have six sequels after it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I think it's time to drop the deuce on this thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
So we start the movie off. We open with a guy who is closing up his shop. It's, what's his name? Kazurinsky? I think it's his name. Ed Kazurinsky?
Uh-huh.
I think the comedian. Or like the actor.
Tim
Kazurinsky, thank you. Did, like, SNL stuff.
SNL stuff, yeah.
So he's closing up shop, and we see him going through this, like, long, kind of this long routine of, you know, checking everything, locking it down. I mean, he's going through step by step by step. And he's going through all these steps of it, and... it just gets considerably more and more ridiculous. Like, he's padlocking things on top of padlocking things. He finally gets out the front door, padlocks it, brings a cage in front of it and padlocks it, brings down a metal gate down, padlocks it. And finally he brings out this, like, remote control, pushes a button, and like a fence of barbed wire comes down, and he pushes a button and you see it, like, electrify, and then he's like, okay, and then finally leaves. Like, it seriously, that sequence, it feels like it takes like 5 minutes.
I felt like that took forever,
but it made me laugh.
Sure,
it did. Like, it was, because it was the ridiculousness of it, and not like, it wasn't even like slapsticky ridiculous. To me, it was just like subtle. It's not like National Lampoon ridiculous. It's not
like parody, like Naked Gun,
right?
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not like those. It's more like, oh, this is this. It's not like stupid fart comedy, but it's like you said, absurd.
Yeah. And so he the store owner, he is after he gets everything locked up, he's walking down the street. Obviously, he's nervous. He looks like it might not be a good neighborhood. So he walks down and he goes to the ATM, which, what's like a 1987 ATM?
Yeah, 85, 86 yeah. ATM.
And so... Did
ATMs talk back to you back in 1986?
Well, this one just kept going, hello, hello, hello.
Was it Johnny Five? And is it because, like, is he in the Los Locos, like, yep, gang territory?
Might be.
Ooh, maybe there's a connection.
Yeah. But he's trying to get money out, and he gets jumped by a bunch of... by a local gang.
Oh, called the Pointer Sisters.
No.
Jump for your love.
No, they're called the Scullions.
Oh, okay.
Which might be a play on hellions and skulls, or it could be a play on the word scallions. I don't know. But they are led by Zed McGlunk.
Zed.
Yeah. I don't even know if they really give his name in this one.
They do. They call him Zed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they give his last name.
Well, because towards the end of the movie, they ask, well, where are you taking me? You were taking me to the big boss.
Yeah.
And what's your name? Zed.
Yeah.
He says his name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Zed McGlunk. But I don't know if they say McGlunk.
I don't know if they
I
do
think
either.
That the only reason I think that shows up is because I think in later sequels,
McDonald's is now offering a McGlunk.
Are they?
Yes.
What's the McGlunk?
The McGlunk is like it's a rolled up. It's a rolled up thing. No.
I think a McGlunk is they take a scoop of this protein goo.
Sure.
And they drop it in a thing of water, and it goes glunk. And right. Then they take the ball that forms in the water, and they put it on a piece of lettuce, and then give it to you with a spoon.
So this was the first Police Academy movie that he was in.
Yes.
Was this one?
Yes, it was.
Which I totally forget about.
Yeah.
Because you think he's in the third one.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first one he's in.
Yeah. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, isn't it him and Ted?
Yeah, he's in this third one, yeah. Too.
Because, okay, so I remember, I think more so than the movies, I also remember the Police Academy cartoon.
There was a cartoon?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and, like, their handcuffs were hands.
What?
Yeah.
Like a children's cartoon?
Yeah, they had a whole toy line with them and everything.
There was a children's cartoon with toys for this movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not for this one, but it was had to be the next one because Bobcat's character is one of the good guys.
So I can probably go on eBay and try to find these toys. Probably.
Yes, you should. Christmas is just around the corner. We have only 4 months for you to get me
if anyone
the Police
wants
Academy
to
toys.
Send a link to that, send that to the Deuce Podcast at gmail.com.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Anyway, so Zed rolls this guy. The next day, and that's kind of how our opening happens. The next day, the chief, I think his name's Hurst, arrives at the precinct. He's getting pelted by eggs. Like, at one point, there's some old lady just walks up and breaks one of the lamps and
that's
smiles
how,
and
that's
walks
how
away.
Bad the neighborhood has gotten.
Yeah.
The old lady's breaking
the
lamps.
It's very bizarre. The whole...
I think it's the 16th precinct.
16th precinct, yeah.
And she breaks the 16th sign.
And so, and Hearst just gets pelted with eggs. We don't know if it's like... I thought there was a protest, maybe, but there was nobody. He's just getting pelted with random eggs. And so he goes in, and he talks to the captain, Pete Lessard. So obviously he's somehow connected to Commandant Lessard.
Commandant Lessard, yeah.
But Pete Lessard, Captain Lessard, is played by Howard Hessman.
The wonderful Howard.
Howard Hessman is great. Like, I love Howard Hessman.
Even in Head of the Class, Howard Hessman?
I'll take Howard Hessman.
I will take
even
you
in
over for that.
Even in The Girl Who Never Laughs, Howard Hessman.
He was. I need to get
or The Girl Who Never Smiled. Or
The Girl That Never Smiled.
Yeah.
You get it right.
Yes. Well, I should. Our friend of the show, Maurice LaMarche.
Edie Falco? Edie Falco?
What?
Who was in that? Edie Falco?
Barkin. Ellen Barkin.
Well, Ellen Barkin. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know why I got Ellen Barkin and Edie Falco confused.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right.
Before she started running those puppy mills. Ellen Barkin, it was her and then Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel.
But like Maurice LaMarche was in
Maurice,
there and some other.
LaMarche.
Yeah. As Mina Bird Maurice.
We're not talking about that movie. We were talking about Full Bunker.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm
distracted
too.
By this movie. Anyway, so Lessard is like, look, you. Give me nothing. You give me no resources. There's nobody here to, like, all of my officers are old. They're tired. Our, like, the equipment is outdated and broken. Like, and it's obvious, like, their cars don't even look, like, they're pretty trashy.
One of them's Dennis from Head of the Class. Wait, no, it's not.
But he says, man, like, we are outmanned, outgunned. They're old. I can't really do anything with this. Hurst gives him 30 days to turn the precinct around or he's going to can him. So that's it. So that's how we get into this. Now, there is a guy, the lieutenant of the precinct, Mauser, Lieutenant Mauser.
Yeah.
Who's played by Art Matrano.
Okay.
I think he's a pretty good comedic actor. Based on
he plays the foil correctly. Yeah.
His expressions are pretty good.
He's fine.
I think you, what did you call him? You called him?
I call him Fawn Rickles.
Don Fickle.
Or Don Fickles, whatever. Yeah. You know, he's kind of looks like him.
He does. He looks very similar to Don Rickles, but his expressions, I think, is what does that. Like, he has very good reaction shots.
He does have good reaction shots.
Yeah.
I just really wanted to talk while you were taking a sip of water.
Thank you. I appreciate that for killing the silence.
No, that's fine. That's the intimate interactions you'll get with our podcast, is I will let you know when he takes a sip of water.
Yeah. We're not hiding anything here.
We aren't hiding anything.
So.
Skin deep.
So. So Captain Lessard, realizing, oh, man, like, well, sorry. Art Matrano, Lieutenant Mauser, he talks to the chief and says, hey, I'm sorry he's doing this. You know, there's no excuse for blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, I have plans for this precinct. I think we can do this, this, and this. And he, like, is trying to say that, like, he could do it. He could do the job. And the chief calls him a suck-up, but then says, if he doesn't do this and he's out in 30 days, then you get to be in charge.
Right.
Thereby setting
up.
But
he's like, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm all man or old.
Yeah.
I can't talk. Yeah. Maybe I need a drink of water. No, you're fine. All my men are kind of old. I need some new recruits. I need something. I don't have a budget. So, you know.
Yeah.
Skin deep, people. Skin deep. Hashtag skin deep.
So Mauser is setting him up along with Sergeant Proctor.
And Gamble.
Yes. Who is his kind of right-hand man.
Yeah.
Who plays stupid really well.
Yeah.
Played by Lance Kinsey.
Oh, okay. Why does that name sound familiar? Because he's part of the Kinsey, you know, thing? Kinsey Report? I don't know what I'm talking about.
No.
Okay.
I don't think because he's part of the Kinsey Report.
Go ahead.
But he did a lot of comedy troupe stuff. Things like that. A lot of improv. So, Sergeant Proctor, who is like Mauser's kind of... I think he was kind of...
Right-head man, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're basically scheming together because then he'll make
right. Sergeant he'll be Proctor the next in line. I mean, it all makes sense.
Here. Yeah,
this is typical '80s, like you know, like
yeah,
the bad guy wants to rise up in the ranks and the slacker kind of funny cool guy who's in charge of the misfits.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
it's pretty formulaic,
right?
Yeah, but. So Captain Lessard, he is like, I got to do something. So he calls his brother, Commandant Lessard.
Sure, I'll send Brandon the dog over. Brandon. Please stop. No, you're doing it.
God, I'm trapping.
See, folks, we're not hiding anything from you. We aren't. So... He calls the he calls Punky's adopted father.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. God, I think that so much of that went out my nose.
Right.
George Gaines.
George Gaines. And throughout these movies, George Gaines' character, for me, gets kind of annoying in a way. And I'm glad that he's not there yet. Like, it almost becomes almost... too much of a character of himself. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It starts to remind me more of, like, characters from, like, the Airplane series.
Right, it gets more... and we'll talk about this later on. It gets more spoofy, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't like that, but keep going.
No, I... Yeah. Well...
We're pulling back the curtain in this episode.
I...
feel like I just went down a water slide.
You know, hey, it happens.
Like I waterboarded myself. So Commandant Lassard says, hey, I have some... Oh, first off, when Captain Lassard calls Commandant Lassard and says, hey, I'm wondering... He said, I'm looking for some young men. Or for some, like, strong young men.
Aren't we all?
And Commandant Lassard, it was such a great comedic moment. George Gaines looks kind of like, okay. And he goes, well, there are bars that you can go to.
That's what I mean. Like, that humor played great. But I feel like later down, and this might be the directing too, later down the line, if that joke was in there, it would be more punched up.
Yes, it would be.
For comic effect.
It would be.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, believe in that maybe your actors a little bit.
Yeah.
That maybe they can hit the lines correct. And he does.
Yeah. He is, well, I think there are bars you can go to for that. You know, this thing is... No, wait, like, Eric, and he goes, yeah. Does Martha know? And, like, very, like, concerned looking, and, oh, part of it, too, while he's doing this, he's got this great bit of action where he's got a fishbowl.
Yeah.
And he's trying to shake out, like, fish flakes, he keeps tapping it, and nothing is coming out. And finally, when he's on the phone, like, the entire container falls into the fishbowl.
Yeah, because you're keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? With the comedy, it's more simple.
Yeah.
And later on, it becomes more like, we got to punch it up.
Yeah.
To get you to watch this, to get eyeballs on you. And I'm like, come on.
And, you know, some of the things, like, I get, like, airplane movies and stuff like that are pretty classic. But, like, sometimes the humor, I'm like, I get it. We're like, somebody's talking in the front and, like, bizarre things are happening in the background.
Yeah.
This movie does that a little bit too, but I don't think it does it in a way that's like over the top.
It doesn't rely on that. How about that?
Like, yeah.
That's what I mean. And in those airplane movies, it's not that it's bad because I love the airplane movies, but it almost becomes to the effect where they're doing that joke too much. While this one just uses it once or twice.
Yeah. Yes. in any case, Commandant Lassard sends him his top graduates, Carey Mahoney. Mahoney, played by Steve Guttenberg.
The Goot!
Larvell Jones,
yes.
Played by Michael Winslow.
Carl's brother.
Correct. His brother is the fictional character, Carl Winslow.
That's what I mean. That's what I was saying, you know.
Yes.
I wonder if they're really close in real life. Him and his fictional brother named Carl Winslow. Anyway, keep going with the cast.
Eugene Tackleberry, played by David Groff.
The late, great David Groff.
Moses Hightower, played by Bubba Smith.
Bubba Smith.
Laverne Hooks, played by Marion Ramsey. And Douglas Fackler, played by Bruce Mahler.
Okay, yeah.
Or Mahler. So they head over to the 16th Precinct. And each of them, Mauser assigns each of them to a veteran officer to kind of take under their wing. So, let's see, Fackler is assigned with Dooley, played by Ed Hurley.
That's the actor.
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
And I think that is the guy who played Francis's dad on Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Maybe.
I pretty think sure that's think him.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
but he is he's kind of just as inept as Fackler was. Fackler is kind of the guy who's accident prone and awkward.
Hmm.
And you see they have this bit here where they
Can I be honest with you? I haven't seen these movies I really haven't watched these movies except this one. I've seen clips and pieces. Didn't remember that character, the guy with the glasses that was accident prone.
Yeah.
It seems like he's kind of a forgettable character.
He is. But when he does stuff, though, it's great.
Right. But what I'm saying is you get, like, Winslow and all these people who are, you know, and the lady who you know, the short African-American lady. I can't think of her name. Hooks.
Yeah.
Right. You get, like, those characters who are so memorable. And then you got this one that's kind of...
Yeah.
You know, I forget that he's in this.
I kept forgetting about Hooks in this movie because she's just not in it that much. But the, so he gets with Dooley, and that was, they have a bit later where they're eating at a restaurant, and Dooley's like, I've been walking this beat for a long time. This very nice conversation. This isn't a bad neighborhood. This is, it's pretty good.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And he's talking about how, like, you know, they're in the diner with their backs to the window. And this is what I was talking about. In the background, you see somebody, walking by with a gas can and just pouring gas all over the cop car. And you see kind of happening in the background. But not like in an over the top way. You just got to see the.
It wasn't over the top, and that's why it worked. But here's why it didn't work. We already know the joke.
Yeah.
We know the joke right away.
Yeah.
We do. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
But then he comes in and he says, some guy comes in and goes, hey, can I borrow a match? And he's like, yeah, have the whole pack. And gives it to him. And then they're still talking and kind of say how, you know, this is something to be proud of. And then the car bursts into flames. And I think this is why it did work for me, though, is because they didn't turn around and go, you know,
right,
that kind of thing.
That's why I'm saying that it's, part worked.
Yeah.
But what doesn't work for me is the fact that,
you know,
you already know the joke right from the start. You see a guy in the window. Because we've seen this so many times in movies that, like, you know what the joke is going to be.
Yeah.
So, although, like, the joke does work, it doesn't work in a way, too.
Right. And so he walks by, or it bursts into flames, and then Fackler goes, oh, can I get this piece of pie, or whatever? Like, he just delivers a line right after the flames, like, explode.
Yeah.
So when he's assigned with him, we get, Mahoney gets assigned to Vinny Stuhlman, who's played by Peter Van Norden.
Okay. And Peter Van Norden, he looks familiar.
He does, but
character actor.
Yeah, I don't remember what he was in.
Okay.
But yes, he's a character actor. And then, but he's like this super dirty, filthy, like the guy's gross, basically. Like his house is disgusting.
Yeah, I swear he always shows up like in these shows and he either plays someone like Italian, like in the mob or something, or not. Do you know what I mean?
I think you might be confusing him with the guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I thought that was the guy from Dumb and Dumber. It's not?
No.
Really?
No.
Huh.
No, that's not him.
Okay, maybe I'm just getting those guys confused because they kind of sound the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, Peter Van Norden, let's see here. He has been in things such as he was in Naked Gun 2.5.
Makes sense.
He was in The Stand. He was one of the guys who goes...
Yeah, and he was also in Dumb and Dumber. No, he wasn't?
No, that's not him. No, but he was one of the guys who goes to Las Vegas and gets like crucified, one of the good guys.
Oh, okay.
So that's him. He was in I don't know, a few other things. So
really? I'm getting him confused with someone else.
He was in Life Goes On, he was in
the show Life Goes On with Corky?
Yeah.
How many episodes?
6.
I gotta watch that. That's probably a good story arc.
Yeah, right.
Right there. You know I can't stand what's her face.
Ooh.
That girl on Life Goes On, Kelly Martin, cannot stand her. I loved when she was on ER because I stopped watching it.
Yeah.
And then I heard she was gonna get killed, so I started watching it. Okay. I told you I have a theory that everyone hates a Martin. Some people say they hate Steve Martin, or Martin Short, or Martin Landau, but I hate Kelly Martin.
Does it have to be one of those two? Or
it has to be any Martin. Yeah. You know?
My favorite Martin.
Yeah, my favorite Martin. I don't know what that means, but can we keep going with this movie?
Yes, we can. I was just waiting for you to finish your...
Oh, I was waiting for you to interrupt me.
Oh, no, you were doing fine.
Oh, I don't think so. So people did not want to hear my Martin theory. I'm being Michael Winslow.
Are you Michael Winslow?
I'm being Michael Winslow. So like drink? Every time...
Yep.
Can I tell you, like, every time they played, like, a sound effect in here, I was like, that's probably Michael Winslow. Like,
yeah, he's also the Foley guy.
Yes, he was. He was the Foley guy. Like, get him in the studio to record this scene.
Let's see here. So, Tackleberry is assigned to Sergeant Kathleen Kirkland, played by Colleen Camp. And that's...
No relation.
What?
Keep going.
They're assigned as like motorcycle cops.
Right.
Oh, and that's I should have mentioned Mahoney with his partner, they're the canine unit. He has this big dog. I don't know, some sort of massive thing. The dog is gigantic.
The dog is gigantic.
Beautiful dog, but gigantic.
Yeah.
And Tackleberry, of course, Kirkland is...
Is that the same dog from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? I swear they did, because it was so big, you know. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Tackleberry with Kirkland. Kirkland is badass. She's a tough lady.
She's a tough lady.
And Tackleberry falls for her as a result. So he goes and talks to...
I used to get Tackleberries, like, back in the day. Do you know what Tackleberry, like when people tackle you and on the grass, and then you pick out the grass from, you know, your butt and whatever. Those are Tackleberries.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, no, I made it up. Yeah.
Thank you for Michael Winslowing
I'm gonna Michael Winslow
cough.
All of your
it
stuff.
It was already
right
audible. And you're just Michael Winslowing. On
the
top
people
of
can
it.
Figure out what you're doing by my sound effects. Ready?
Yeah. That's me raising and lowering my
that
left
was you
arm.
Yeah, people know that. You don't need to explain to them. That sound. People know that's the sound effect of raising your arm. That's a common sound effect that people know.
Hold on, let me write something down real quick.
Go. Yeah, okay.
Do not attempt humor while drinking water.
Yeah, don't do that.
So, it is out of my...
Our bad Michael Winslow. This has been 30 minutes of us doing a Michael Winslow impression.
Here, take it. I'll do
this whole episode.
I'm
going
to try to do some more Michael Winslow sounds for you.
Don't. Let's keep
gulp,
going.
Gulp. Anyway, Tackleberry tells Mahoney that, like, hey, I'm in love with Kirkland. I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, great. And so he's talking with him. And then Tackleberry reveals that he's a virgin, like right as the entire entire bar goes silent.
You love jokes like that.
Like the thing where they're, where somebody says the loud.
Do you remember that happened to me? And you were like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Because it happened in real life.
Yes. That was the best.
Was it? Were we at the dance?
Yeah, we were at the bar.
Yeah.
We were at a bar dancing and the club dancing and. I think you were just like...
It was in between songs.
Yeah, you said something
which
about...
Which is impossible.
Said something
at
about all the woo girls dancing around.
Yeah, I was like, look at the woo girls dancing around. Like, right
something about like these idiots.
These idiots up. Dancing around. What?
Right as it got quiet.
Crickets and Michael Winslow?
So now, Mauser continues to... try to sabotage the new recruits. We saw him do it once earlier with Hooks, and then he put her on like she's dispatch.
Yeah, she's the dispatcher.
Yeah, he won't put her out there because he's like, you're just a little lady. And then...
Is it that they just didn't know how to write her in this movie? Because she's not in this movie.
No, she's not. Well, she really only has the one gimmick, and they make sure to do that.
Oh, okay.
They work it in, but I think they could have done more with her, but they just didn't. So, Mauser keeps trying to target Mahoney also, He doesn't like that Mahoney is kind of smug and confident and all that stuff. So, so during a patrol, Mahoney and Stuhlman spot a robbery at Ted Kazurinsky's place.
The place. Yeah.
So they spot it again, and they're like, okay, we got to go in. And so they put in a call for backup. Well, nobody's going to back them up. Like, you hear them trying, but, like, people aren't. They're just like, just go in. You'll be fine. So they go in to take on the criminals who are holding him, you know, holding him up for his money. And they go in there, and, you know, the fight ensues. Well, in the meantime, everybody else responds to the call. And so they are opening fire, and it's just like all the police academy guys just firing and like totally just destroying the store. The criminals long gone. They're just all firing at each other.
It's a Keystone everything. Cops. I mean, there. This is the '80s version of Keystone Cops.
And this is one of those things with ridiculousness where I'm okay with, because it was like they're firing and it's kind of escalating, but then at one point like Hightower and Kirkland come in, and Hightower is firing at everything and blowing stuff up like we expect him to. But then Kirkland steps in with, like, a machine gun and just starts gunning stuff down. And to me, I thought that was funny because it wasn't like...
Does Hightower sound like he's... Like, that's the name of an American gladiator?
Blaze! Gemini! Hightower!
Sounds like one of those tracks that, like, Jehovah's Witnesses bring you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's The Watchmen. I think that's what you're thinking.
The Watchmen?
No, not The Watchmen. What was it called?
The Watchtower?
The Watchtower. Sorry. Yeah, they're not going to bring you The Watchmen.
Who watches The Watchtower?
Can we spread the word to you? Here is our copy of The Watchmen.
Yeah. So, Mauser is ready to suspend all these guys. Because I think the only person they end up catching, you see Hightower or... Tackleberry does all the firing. Hightower catches Kazurinsky or whatever as he's running away and brings him back and, like, of course, hurts his arm.
Yeah.
And so they're ready to... Mauser's ready to suspend all of them, but Mahoney, he talks to Lessard and says, you got to give us another chance. We got to do something. And so while all this is happening... Zed and his gang go to a supermarket and just start trashing it and causing havoc,
right?
And stealing everything.
This, like, so what they did was they reenacted that Pornos for Pyros video. Been caught stealing, right? Been caught stealing once. You know what I'm talking about? That video?
Not at all.
You do not know that video?
No, I don't know that video.
Right? But the video is like they're stealing stuff in a supermarket.
Okay.
People are like sticking it down their dresses and their shirts and
stuff. No, these guys are not that subtle. They're
no, like, they're not that
they're
subtle.
Just taking whatever.
No, but it kind of at first reminded me of that.
So Mauser then gives Mahoney a new assignment with Stuhlman. They're patrolling a tunnel to make sure nobody gets stranded. And, like, you know, gets stuck in this tunnel. So they're just sitting in there basically waiting.
Yeah.
And they are just covered with soot. And basically he comes back and he's just like, this is miserable. The Mauser is just being an asshole and makes reference because Mahoney's covered with soot. He starts making, like, blackface jokes. And to which Michael Winslow's just like, what? Just looking at him like, okay.
Yeah.
And so he's an asshole. Well, you see Tackleberry fixing his helmet with this epoxy resin. And so he's like, well, you know, can I borrow that? And so he puts it in Mauser shampoo.
Right. This, is, I think, is probably one of the most famous scenes of the movie, correct?
Yeah.
You would say people remember this gag. So he switches out the shampoo with this glue, right?
Yeah. And so he's washing his hair, doing just normal, and then all of a sudden his hands are stuck.
Right.
And so he wanders out of the locker room, and he wanders, like, outside where everybody is. Well, first off, he's walking around the locker room, and everybody's like, oh, God, and kind of getting out of the way. He wanders out into the hall where everybody sees him, and then he walking around naked.
Yeah.
And he goes to his office. He gets to his office, and that's where Proctor is, helps him. He gives him a haircut or cuts the hair so he can get his hands down.
Yeah.
The hair is just butchered. And he's got hair all over his hands, leading to a plethora of masturbation jokes.
Mmm. Plethora.
The old Harry Palms bit. So he's pissed, and he's wants to go after them. He ends up putting on a wig, or like wearing a wig as a result, a terrible wig. But the Lasard, you know, is also feeling kind of worn down at this point. He's just like, I've had too much. He comes out and he sees a couple of Zed's guys rolling some kids in an alleyway.
Yeah.
He goes to put them in their place and gets jumped by a whole bunch of them. And so we cut back to Mauser, who is just yelling at all the recruits and basically saying, like, I had to kick you all out. And at about that point, Lasard comes in covered in graffiti. And so he's like, nope, we have to stop these guys. We're going to make a push. We're going to take these guys down. Like, we don't know anything about their organization, but we're going to take them down. And so they're going out and they're doing whatever means possible. They're taking them down. So you see, like, Michael Winslow has a scene where he's fighting a couple of guys who are going after, like, a Korean grocer. And he does all the sound effects in the scene. It sounds like a Bruce Lee movie.
Right.
And he does kind of like, he flips over the fence and is like fighting all of them. God, Michael Winslow is so talented with his sound effects and stuff like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, the scene really showcases a lot of that too.
Right. I mean, if you're going to say that, that's fine. I mean, that's the right thing to say. It kind of has kind of this really lost art, you would say, of sound effects.
Yeah. Well, he has some other stuff he's done earlier, but this scene in particular, I think like part of the way through, I was like, holy shit, he's doing all of this.
It's just that the only thing I know him from is this and Spaceballs.
Correct.
So, you know, as much as like that is a talent, that's the only thing you really are known for.
Yeah.
So in a way, like, people just think that's the only thing you can do. So it's got to be kind of hard for him to, like, kind of, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, wanting to do something else, I guess. But he enjoys doing it. You can tell he does.
Yeah. They, so, they're taking some other people down. You see, the store owner again from the beginning of the movie.
Right.
Who now has like a broken arm and it's in a cast.
We can call the store owner Carl Sweetchuck is his name.
Sweetchuck. That's right.
It was actually something else, but Bubba Smith could never pronounce it. So they had to change it to Sweetchuck. So that's.
I wonder if it was something like really Polish before.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sweetchuck was, he's running around and he's walking by. He accidentally, when he turns, he accidentally punches one of the people. What's his name? Doggone it. Fackler.
Yeah.
He accidentally, like, you know, accidentally hits one guy with his nightstick, turns around and like knocks a car, like a hood down on another guy, so he gets these criminals that way. Mm-hmm. Sweet Chuck accidentally clocks a gang member when he's walking down the street, and so he goes running, and they're chasing after him. He gets into, he goes into a bar that is like a gay leather bar.
It's a gay biker leather bar.
And it says they're having a tango contest.
Called the Blue Oyster. They're having a tango contest.
Yeah, the Blue Oyster Bar.
Which, you know, we've been on tango contests.
Yeah,
ourselves.
I mean, that's...
Right?
That's like... That's,
bars like
you
that?
Know, that's 80% of the, you know, gay bar experiences.
Is a tango contest.
Tango contests.
They have them all the time, people. All the time.
So he runs in there.
It actually says it's the annual tango contest.
It does. So it's once a year.
So it's a bunch of, like, biker guys.
Yeah.
The joke is, haha, look at these masculine biker guys doing the tango with each other.
Yeah. But also, it wasn't like...
It wasn't super homophobic. But it wasn't necessarily wonderful hindsight to look at.
It didn't bother me.
I wasn't offended that much by it.
Yeah, no. And then the gang members run in there, but like the gang members also weren't like, ooh, they run in.
Correct. It wasn't like,
and the guys doing the tango all of a sudden are just like, we're gonna
kick
your ass.
We didn't get one of these. We didn't get where like one of the guys at the originally at the bar, like, said, oh hi, how are you, stud? Like, we didn't get one of those.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is great. Instead, it was just we're tangoing.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know. And we look like the village people.
One of the village people.
Yeah, one of them.
And we're just, you
was
know.
He at Okamaka? No, it was a cowboy. Okay,
yeah, it was a cowboy. So there basically ends up being this huge rumble. They call in and say, you know, hey, there's a, you know, thing going on, or there's a disturbance at the Blue Oyster Bar. And you see Hooks is like, okay, I'll get you the address, like, on the dispatch. And she goes, what's the address for the Blue Oyster Bar? And starts going through the Rolodex. Proctor goes, oh, it's 516 blah, blah, blah street. Just, like, off the top of his head. And all of a sudden he goes, oh.
Yeah, they all look at him like.
Yeah, like, because he realizes he probably just, you know.
Kind of outed himself.
Yeah. And so, but you know what? To me, that was not, again, it was within my tolerances. Between, like,
we have seen a lot worse in the movies that we've reviewed on homophobic jokes.
Yes,
racist jokes.
Yeah.
So this was actually pretty tame for 1980.
Yeah. Yes. It's no Soul Man.
C. Thomas Howell. I do all the time.
C. Thomas Howell.
When it's a full moon, I always see Thomas Howell.
So Mahoney tries to go into the Blue Oyster Bar and basically gets tossed out because it's too much is going on. So then
he's
Hightower,
the goot.
Huh?
It's the goot.
He couldn't charm his way through it, so he has to call on somebody else.
the goot is
Hightower goes in there, and Hightower basically kicks these guys' butts, brings them all out. And they put it in the back of the K-9 unit. And, of course, like, they drive away with just all these criminals in there.
Yeah.
And all of the guys from inside the bar just standing around Bubba Smith, just looking at him, like, adoringly. And he's kind of like, hi. Isn't like, ew.
Right.
But he's
again,
just like,
it's not, like, terrible, but it's also like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They get a call, Lasard gets a call from the mayor or from the chief, and he's telling him, yep, we had like 43 arrests. We got all these gang members off the street, and, Mauser comes in and tells him that he dropped most of the charges due to excessive force and procedure violations. Of course, Lasard is just pissed at this point. Mahoney sees that Mauser did this on purpose, which is true. Mauser wants this to fail. So he informs the nurse in charge of cavity searches, like on criminals.
And that's a person that just checks, like the pre-dentist.
Yes.
Just to check, right? Am I right with that?
It is, but she reaches through your butt to do it.
Oh, okay.
That's how they do that.
So she's looking for tackleberries as well.
Yeah, she's looking for tackleberries. She's like, where's this body cavity search that you guys ordered? And he goes, oh, him, and points to Mauser, who then they do the cavity search on. Later, we kind of have some aside from the regular story. Tackleberry goes on his date with Kirkland. They go dancing. They profess their love to each other. And then there's kind of a scene with them, you know, taking all their guns off and whatever. Yep. There's tons of them before they finally sleep together.
Can I say I quite enjoyed this scene? I thought it was funny. I thought it was pretty, you know, like, again, it was borderline Naked Gun kind
of. Yes, it was.
Airplane-y.
Yeah, it was.
But it was absurd enough where I was like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Because he just kept dropping the guns, and they kept, oh, well, what about this one?
Yeah. It was absurd to me, but it wasn't, like, over-the-top absurd, because sometimes that gets really grating up to me.
It was just the right amount.
It was just the right amount of absurdity.
And then one of the guns goes off.
Yeah, and she goes, oh.
Eugene. I love that when they were talking, it was like, well, it's, you know, oh, 900 hours. It's not whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They were talking like they were... You know,
because they're both like that.
Yes.
Captain Lassard goes to see, talks to his brother. They go to a Japanese steakhouse. And of course, there's some stuff like the guy doing the food keeps hitting Howard Hessman with like pieces of food.
Howard Hessman's really good at being aggravated.
Yeah,
like,
he is.
It's really funny.
He is. He does a really good job with it. And so he's talking to Commandant Lassard about, like, you know...
Well, we got to bring... he brought in the goldfish.
Yeah.
Why are you carrying the goldfish around to begin with? But okay, whatever.
That was one of his things. He always had his fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was his gimmick?
At least I remember that from the cartoon. So he had his fish.
The wonderful cartoon.
Yeah. So he takes it and he sets it.
Was that right after Hammer Man?
I feel like it was before Hammer Man.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was before Hammer Man with his talking shoes. That is not a joke. His shoes talk to him.
I know. That's why I'm laughing.
Hammer Man. Hammer
Whoa,
Man.
You know
Hammer.
This.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow.
I watched the hell out of that.
I'm just realizing I married this, but keep going.
So at the steakhouse, of course, Commandant Lassard sits down his... goldfish, on the side, and there's some bits where, like, he holds his brother's hand, like, you know, it's gonna be okay, but when he's doing it, he's holding it on part of the grill, which is horrible. And of course Captain Lassard's getting hit with pieces of food and he's being aggravated.
Yeah.
And the commandant tells him, why don't you have, like, a police fair?
Like a street fair, yeah.
Yeah, in the city, and it'll be great. Like, show you're committed to keeping the city.
A perfect idea, says Howard Hessman.
Yeah. And then he looks over, and the goldfish that's sitting there, the water is boiling. And he goes, what? He goes, that fish is boiled. He goes, would you rather have it stir-fried?
I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
Because I wasn't expecting that joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was
a sight
he
gag.
He says
that
it.
You forgot about it?
Yeah.
Because you were focused on this over here.
Yeah.
And then when that happened, I thought that worked funny.
He says it, and then he goes, would you rather have it stir fried? They change scenes. Like, it was not like they didn't dwell on it and go, A-bye.
Yeah.
They
comedy should be like, boom, you hit the joke and go on.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or, like, every time something really funny happened, I just pictured Bill Clinton laughing? Hillary.
And just him laughing.
And then balloons.
Just in a... No.
And then kicking balloons.
He's laughing, and there's just this, like, weed haze that's, like, halfway down. And he's just like... and just, like, eating
Hillary's
Cheetos
from
with
glaucoma.
It. Yes, I picture exactly that.
God.
I could watch Bill Clinton with balloons for like hours. It's my favorite. Like whenever I'm feel down,
that's what I watch.
Just like click on that video and it just cheers me up. Kicking a balloon.
So the on the night of the fair, the mayor is there. All these people are there.
Yeah.
And Zed and his men just start trashing everything.
Yeah.
It goes bad. So Lessard is like, you know what? I give up. And so he's trying to quit. Takes all his stuff, packs it up, and leaves, which means that Mauser is the acting captain. And his first act is to remove Mahoney, just because he doesn't like Mahoney. And, of course, Stuhlman stands up and says, you know, come on. Like, you can't do that. If you're going to do that to him, you're going to do that to me. And so he suspends him as well. So then Mahoney, Stuhlman, and Lessard get together in this last-ditch attempt to do something. So they're going to stop the gang. They decide, well, hey, what if we go undercover and figure out, because we don't even know who the leader is.
Yeah.
So let's go undercover and figure out who the big man is. So they send in Mahoney undercover. And I like this, too, because I like seeing the Goot do, like, a different kind of character.
I do, too.
Because he was doing a voice, and he was acting weird and, like, you know, more than his normal.
What's your name? My name's Jughead.
He says, yeah, he's his name's Jughead of a gang called the Archies. But he's basically acting crazy, getting the attention of the gang members, and they're like, hey, you should come with us.
I realized why he was acting crazy. Too much sugar, sugar. Do.
The Archies.
Yeah.
That was like, at first I was like, what?
Yep. Oh, usually everyone with my jokes are like, what? Then they slowly get them. They slowly reel him into my madness. Ha ha.
He went three men and a little crazy.
Oh.
What? Anyway, so, and of course, Stuhlman, they need to wire him so they can get all this on tape. And so they hook up, like, a microphone to his chest, like a full-size microphone. It's a Mr. Microphone. So he's like, no, I repurposed it, so it'll work like this. And of course, every once in a while, though, it plays, like, baseball.
Yeah. So they, like, tape it to his chest.
Yeah.
Kind of they wrap it around like a cocoon.
Yeah. There you go. I do like when he goes, ooh, Captain, it's a little too tight. And he goes, I'm sorry, and undoes like the duct tape. See the Goot goes, from his back.
Way to be in high spirits, though, Goot, for that.
It's true.
I'm just reading IMDb right now.
You're just going through his parent trap.
I know the Goot. Speaking of, when you said three men and a baby,
yeah,
like my favorite Goot thing is when he was on season two of Party Down.
Yeah.
It's actually entitled Steve Guttenberg's Birthday Party.
Yeah.
Because they he hires Party Down Catering, and then they're like, oh, I forgot to cancel that. So they're just like, okay, well, I don't want this food to go to waste. So they actually
just
have
their
birthday party, so they just hang out with Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, that's good.
But like Megan Mullally's character is like, oh my God, that's Ted Danson from Three Men and a Little Baby. Cracks me up every time. Go ahead.
Anyway.
But it's great because he's playing himself, but he's being kind of schmarmy like Steve Guttenberg, so it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. So they infiltrate the gang, and as he's doing his kind of like Jughead character, he's like describing where he is, or he's trying to talk about it. He's like, oh, you got this cave thing with graffiti. Oh, this is great. I love it. Like, he's just continuously talking. Continue. And to me, I was laughing because I was like, oh, my God. Like, between him doing the voice and acting this way and then him describing, like, everything he's seeing as he's going, I thought that was funny. I was laughing at
that. It is. It's funny. I mean, yeah.
It's Guttenberg funny.
It is. It's Guttenberg funny. I'm like, Guttenberg, you know, like funny. Any other actor, like, for instance, like, say, Bill Murray. He's kind of,
I don't want to say second rate Bill Murray, but like he has that kind of Bill Murray where he plays those parts.
Yeah.
You know, and he has that. But I enjoyed it too. I thought it was funny. I thought when he was just like, oh, all this cave kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where he kept describing it very weird.
Yeah. And
so they find out he's a cop.
Well, they get down there. Right. And that's when they figure out that Zed is the head guy.
Zed's the head guy.
Zed
loves watching Family Affair.
Yeah, he was like crying watching Family Affair. Yeah. And he basically, they reveal he's at the old zoo.
Yeah.
So you see everybody heading that way. Well, he goes, he says his name is Jughead. And Zed says, oh, my mother's name is Jughead.
That's my mother's name, yeah.
Yeah. And this is like...
Oh, go ahead.
I was not a big fan of Bobcat Goldthwait's comedy back in the day. But like this, I think in this movie, I like him in this.
Yeah, he's right for this part.
Yeah. It's awkward, but not like so terrible.
Also
awkward.
Now, like Bobcat Goldthwait now is fun to listen to, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, his comedy now, like his comedy, I think it was actually around.
It's because it's more self-reflective.
Yes.
And not like, you know, self-inflicting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the first one, around the time when I started enjoying Bobcat Goldthwait's comedy was he was on an episode of, I think it was around when he was starting to get clean with stuff.
Yeah.
He was on an episode of the John Larroquette show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he played a. Like a businessman who was.
Oh, he was. I remember that.
He was like a drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his chip or whatever it was. And so he came in there and he was talking normally.
Yeah.
And I went, I think it was the first time as like being young that I was like, that's a character he does. Like he doesn't really talk like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so like that's the first time that hit me. And then I was like, I appreciated it more because I realized he was doing something.
Right, right.
But I was like, oh, my God. And he's very straight-laced and talked very well and did all this stuff. And then when he falls off the wagon and starts drinking again, then he sounds like Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. But I think that was around the time when he was starting to kind of get himself cleaned up.
Probably. Who knows? I don't know. But he does a lot of directing, a lot of like... Well, like what we find out like the other day that he directed the Jimmy Kimmel show for like years.
For a long time, yeah.
For a long time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Mahoney's cover gets blown when the microphone cuts into like a radio ad. And so they figure out that he's a cop. So everybody's trying to run there to help. And of course, Captain Lessard calls everyone there. Mauser tries to stop them. But everybody's like, no, we have to get there. We have to take care of this. And you see Zed ties his arm to Mahoney's so they can have, like, a knife fight. Everybody's rushing there. They get there, and at, like, one point, Mauser is going to lower Fackler down in through, like, this the opening in the cave. He's going to lower him down in with this rope, but Fackler bumps him, and he falls in, so he's hanging upside down. Everybody else rushes in and basically takes everyone out. So they do the raid. They take over. They arrest the gang. Zed takes Mahoney and is trying to escape with him and hold him hostage. But Captain Lessard basically blocks the route and is aiming his gun at Zed. And Mahoney punches Zed instead so that the captain doesn't shoot him. And he basically falls down the stairs, where then Hooks shows up out of nowhere and goes, "Freeze, dirtbag!" Which is like her thing from the first one.
Oh, where have you been?
Yeah, so she gets her line. They're like, "Yeah, where have you been?" Although I think it was kind of an add-in line, like, "We didn't use you a lot." And so Lessard reveals that his gun isn't loaded. He doesn't use ammo in his gun. He just used it to kind of... You know, hold him off. So, Lessard is reinstated as a captain. Mahoney and Stuhlman get back on the force. And then Mauser gets demoted. So, The film at the end, so basically it ends with a wedding. You see Tackleberry and Kirkland get married. So they have their wedding. All the people are there to celebrate it. And then they drive off in a monster truck, dragging a bunch of those like blue safety barrels.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the end.
So you've been deuced.
Deuced.
Huh? Let me tell you, Jeremy, that this film was the 11th highest grossing film in the United States in 1985. And that's impressive because it actually had stiff competition in 1985.
Yeah.
Back to the Future, The Goonies, Fletch, Brewster's Millions, Desperately Seeking Susan, Prissy's Honors, Porky's Revenge, and The Sure Thing also were in 1985. So the 11th highest grossing film for a sequel of this caliber. No wonder it spawned even more sequels after that.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of amazing for that.
Yeah.
So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, shall we? All right. This person is named Cursa Buzza Dallas. Oh, who cares? Yeah. Okay. They give it a 10 out of 10. Better than the first part. I like the first part, but this one was even better, probably because of Zed, the guy he's always picking on, and Proctor, who actually didn't get much of a show, but still was very funny. Many characters from the first part didn't come back in this one, but they were replaced by new characters, which were also funny. Usually sequels are not as good as the original, but this time the sequel was even better. There was some parodies of the movies like Dirty Harry and Death Wish. This movie was pretty low rating on IMDb, and I can't understand why, because it's one of the best comedies I've seen. This I'm going to read. It's called Boring from Jacob John Taylor 1, 4 out of 10. Now I'm going to read what they wrote as is.
Okay.
Okay. This is a very boring movie. It's not funny at all. It's so boring. Nothing but stupid college Hummer with cops. Oh. Yeah. Hummer instead of humor, but yeah. That's okay. There is no point to this movie. It's so boring and badly written. Steve Guttenberg, they actually put dots between their name. I don't know why.
Interesting.
Is boring. Do not waste your time. Do not waste your money. Do not see this movie. Bubba Smith is boring. David Graff is boring. The acting in this movie is meaty core. I cannot believe people like this movie. It is so stupid and not funny. Michael Winslow is a good actor, but he's wasted his talent of being in this awful movie. Bruce Mailer is good.
Oh my God. Actor.
But why is he's still wasted. Going? I don't know why he didn't spell out Mailer, but whatever. Marilyn Ramsey is boring. This movie is a stinky pile of poo-poo. Do not see it.
Okay. First off, you are 12. Or at least have the vocabulary.
They spelled it out and then put dots between. Or I don't know if they're acronyming. He was acronyming Gutenberg's last name.
Yeah, at least, you know what, like, for somebody who's like, this is boring. This boring. This boring. It yeah. boring. Like,
why is it
somebody,
boring? Tell me why it's
you know
boring.
What, you know what you're boring? Your stupid ass review that says nothing about why anything is wrong. Like, it says nothing about any of that. And all it says is that people are boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you...
Another one I read. I get this a lot when I look for reviews. I'd rather watch paint dry on a wall. Okay, that's not clever, people.
Yeah.
Stop saying that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to use it. Yes. Give me something good.
Yeah, right.
Like you tried to contact an extra in the movie.
Yes. See?
Okay, go ahead.
Well, why don't we get into our five?
Do we have to?
We do.
Okay, let's do it.
We're contractually obligated.
Okay.
What
I didn't sign any papers.
Oh, you signed some papers.
Oh, I did. Yeah.
What is the what do you think is the best part of this movie?
You first. I always go first. You first.
This one is tough for me.
I mean, it's your pick, so you go.
This one's tough for me because there's a lot of parts on this that I really like. But I really like George Gaines. I think that, is it George Gaines?
Sure.
Commandant Lasard.
Oh, yeah.
I really like when he's there, like his, I think his stuff at this point was not over the top.
Right. It was, but you know, like, what I mean. Humor, it gets really subtle. Over the top.
Yeah. And yeah. So George Gaines is very, I appreciate his humor in this. In ways that I probably didn't when I was younger.
Okay.
That's probably my favorite part.
This movie's fine. When I watch this movie, I don't remember the first movie because I've never really watched it. The comedy's fine in this movie, but I feel like it's not as risky as the first movie, even though I've never seen it. I feel like maybe it's a little bit tamer in a way. And I don't know if I'm reading that wrong. But I feel like maybe it kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of in the way Major League 2 was kind of like the same way. Having said that, I really enjoyed the comedy that I did see. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite parts were like the whole, they go out on a date.
Yeah.
The date scene. And the interactions with Howard Hessman and Gaines.
Yeah.
I thought were really funny. I think I wanted more of them, but that's... Yeah. Beside the point. I'm kind of upset Howard Hessman's not in, like, wasn't in the first one or whatever, you know what I mean? But I'm glad he's not, like, in Police Academy 7.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I should amend mine a little bit, too. I also really loved Howard Hessman. Yeah. He was amazing. Reboot, continue, or cancel?
It's your pick, so I'm making you go first.
I would... Probably, like, I would probably do kind of a reboot, continue piece of it. Like, I would basically have new ones, but I would have, like, a whole new cast. I wouldn't be like, hey, Michael Winslow is in, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a whole new cast, but I would make, like, either, like Winslow, or I'd make Gutenberg or whoever, like the chief. Not that he would be in it a lot, but that you can see that, oh, it was his character who rose through the ranks to become this serious thing. Or maybe make him like the serious person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where he's like,
maybe
you can see like how time has changed him. But something like that. Or he runs the police academy now, or whatever it is. But I wouldn't rely so heavily on the old characters. Just at least one to connect that this isn't the same universe, but make it its own new thing.
I say reboot, but reboot as there's so many like alternative comedy or comedians out there or people doing absurd stuff that you could reboot this as like a short series.
Yeah.
And get some fun stuff out of it. You know what I mean? That way it's not, because I think later on it probably would get tiresome trying to get 2 hours of this comedy out.
Yeah.
So 40 minutes to an hour is fine for me.
Yeah. Can I say that I would also go the remade Ghostbusters route, and I would make your main people female cops?
You could.
I would make your main cops female.
Yeah.
And I know this for any of you who have watched Saturday Night Live, where they had... Kate McKinnon and Aidy Bryant used to do this bit where it was like a Cagney and Lacey kind of thing or whatever. It was cops called Dyke and Fats.
Mm-hmm.
And they would you know, go through the whole intro, and then like the chief would call them that. And they'd be like, wow.
Get Lauren Michaels to like get the rights to Police Academy and just make it that.
Kate McKinnon and Aidy Bryant. Like, I don't need Melissa McCarthy.
I need that.
Kate McKinnon and Aidy Bryant. I think Aidy Bryant would be hilarious.
I do too. I think she needs to branch out to movies a little bit more instead of having cameos.
I'm a big proponent of A.D. Bryant. Like I try to. When they're like, who would be good in this role? And I'm like, A.D. Bryant. Like I'm always trying to force her into film franchises.
And I was like, should she have? Because that was she should not have filled in for Kevin Spacey. I mean, Christopher Plummer was better. But you were like, A.D. Bryant should have done
let's
that.
Let's do it. I agree. I stand by my decision. Anyway, do you think this movie stands on its own?
No. No, I don't think it does. Because they've graduated. If I don't know these characters, I need a little bit of information.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because it does in a way. Because the way it starts out, but it doesn't. So I say for the most part, it doesn't.
It doesn't. To me, it does in a way because you're being introduced to like the world outside of the police academy.
Yeah, I mean, you are.
But those six characters, I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, like Michael Winslow's character starts doing voices. I'm like, wow, what was that
and
about?
They go into that more than the others. So, no, I don't think it stands on its own either.
Yeah.
Does this make you want to watch the first movie?
Yes.
I would agree.
Yes. Mainly because I feel like it's going to be a little bit more, not raunchier, but like more. Taking more risks.
Yeah.
Like, not to say like this is watered down and terrible because it's watered down. It's just that I feel like they hit something big.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they kind of rushed this a little bit. But like they did it justice.
I think they were more comfortable.
This is probably the best sequel out of all of them.
Yeah. They were a little too comfortable, I think, in this one.
Probably.
I think the humor hits. I just don't think it hits quite as hard.
Yeah.
So and then describe your experience in two words.
Go ahead. It's your pick.
I will say
okay. I'm gonna do crickets. Michael Winslow crickets. Go ahead.
chirp chirp. I would say police academy. Slurp.
Some of it went down the wrong hole.
That happened to me too.
Yeah.
It's not a good joke.
No, it's not a good joke.
You almost drowned
yourself.
I
had it before. Go ahead. You said police academy?
Yes.
Can I say arrested comedy? Arresting comedy?
You could say that.
It's hard to think of like I don't want to feel like I'm dogging on this movie because this movie doesn't deserve a low rating as it does. Like I got a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Eh.
And I'm thinking that's kind of too low for this movie.
I think people also hate on
on it because they're like, Police Academy.
Yeah.
Oh, they made seven of those stupid things. But I don't think this is... Look, I've seen worse movies right out the gate, and then they made a sequel to it, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, right.
Why would you do that? So that to me, is like hard for me to think. I don't know. I say Gutenberg. Or no, Goot movie.
Like Goot movie? Because it's a Goot movie.
Look, some of the people, I read that some of the actors were not happy making this movie because their roles were significantly less than the first movie.
Yeah.
So they were pretty unhappy about it. And so I don't think they kind of utilized the cast as much as a whole as they could have. Like togetherness.
Yeah.
I felt there was like a lot of vignettes.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's not that much interaction. Can I say, my two words were missed opportunities?
No.
Because I think there were a lot of missed opportunities. Like, you don't have the characters interacting. When they need each other, they circle up and get there with each other. But you don't have as much, there's some Tackleberry and Mahoney kind of interaction. Talk to Fackler? Outside of the one time when Gutenberg saved him from strangling himself,
from the weights. No, that's why I said that. His character's forgettable.
Yeah,
I forgot him now until you said something to me. I was like, "What character are you talking about?"
Yeah, and when Hooks, okay, so at the beginning, the Mauser totally sexist to Hooks, and he does it to her multiple times there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, there was no, like, Hooks then putting him in his place or, like,
yeah.
You know, flipping him and, you know, kicking his ass or, like.
Also, why are you? It's not like you don't have a female on your.
Yeah.
You know, you have the biker cop.
I think maybe it's because she's mousy a little bit, whatever. Okay, but, like, but yeah, I'm like, it was a waste. Like, I would have. She should have confronted him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or, like, you should have had, you know, I mean, Michael Winslow, outside of the sound effect thing, you didn't just get much from him.
Not really. Look, I chuckled in this movie. I wasn't laughing out loud, but I was chuckling in this movie.
Yeah.
There's many movies that some people are like, you need to watch this movie because it's one of the funniest movies you'll ever see. And I don't fucking laugh at all, right?
Yep.
Having said this, at least I'm chuckling at this movie. Yeah. I get why Bill Clinton is like, I like these movies.
Yeah.
It's just not, but I really want to watch the first one because I've never really watched it. But no, I say if you're a Goot fan, watch this movie. Yes. Also, if you're a Goot fan.
Yes, so if you're Steven Gutenberg, if you're Steve Gutenberg, watch this
movie. If you're a Goot
movie.
Fan, one of my favorite Goot things was when he guest starred on Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Because he's playing like out of like, he's creepy in that.
Yes, he is.
I love it.
Goot thing. Where have you gone?
Probably producing Goot thing. I don't know. What's he doing? Okay.
Anyway. So,
where can people find us, Jeremy?
You can find us on thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, all the good kind of podcatchers. Go check us out there. You know, on any of those, if you get the chance to rate us, please do so. Also, you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is at Deuce Podcast. You can find us, again, we're part of the No Phony Podcast Network, so you can also find us through...
Support them.
NoPhonyNetwork.com, in addition to
support
numerous
them, support,
others.
Support podcasts of color, which include the podcast of the month.
Yeah.
From the bottom.
From the bottom.
So do that.
And
support LGBTQ podcasts.
Yes.
We're not really an LGBTQ podcast. We just happen to be.
Yeah. On our page also, the No Phony Network page, you'll also see some different like charities or like things that we're trying to do to help people. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff there. So definitely check us out. You know, I think that you'll find something good there for you.
Right. Any information on what we're going to do here in the upcoming episode? Episode 69, Jeremy.
It's episode 69.
We are doing
69.
Everyone's favorite number, 69. Should we tell people what we're doing or should we wait?
I think I told them last time.
Oh, you did? Well, continue to tell them then.
So for episode 69, we're doing 50 Shades Darker.
Yes.
Mainly because we already did Basic Instinct 2.
We did. Yeah. That was April, wasn't it?
Yeah. All April right. was the cruelest month.
So stay tuned for that one. I'm sure that's going to be a doozy.
Yes.
So there you go. Is that, what's her name in that movie? Oh, I can't think
Dakota
of her name.
Johnson?
Dakota Johnson.
Yeah. Dakota Johnson. I'm already not. I have a
Don funny Johnson thing. And Melanie Griffith.
Yes. Right. I have a funny story about this movie, but I'm going to wait to share it.
And Tippi Hedren is her grandmother.
Yes. Yep. She comes from a long line of...
Long line of acting people.
Yes.
You would say.
Yes.
So this was your pick, so I think you should end it.
Okay. And remember, the sequel is king.